Many times in my childhood, when we traveled so far, by nightfall, how weary I'd grow. Father's arms would slip round me, so gently he'd say, "My child, we are going home.
Going home, I'm going home. There is nothing to hold.
Now the twilight is fading, and the day soon shall end. Oh, I get homesick the farther I roam. But my Father, he has led me each step of the way, and now I am going home.
Going home, I am going home. There is nothing to hold.
Sing that chorus with us.
Going home, I'm going home. There is nothing to hold me here. I caught a glimpse of that hill.
Thankful one day, if you've been born again, you got a better place to go, and you'll be going home. If you've not been born again, though, that needs to happen, because the alternative is hell, and friend, you won't be looking forward to that at all. I'm thankful that His Spirit guides and His Spirit directs, and if He speaks to you today, you pay attention to what God has to say, and I guarantee you, you can leave this building different from when you came. Turn your Bible to the book of John, the 18th chapter. The book of John, the 18th chapter. I trust that you'll pray for us just for a little while. I sit and reflect over a lot of things that God does prepare us for. God will prepare us. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." God will prepare us. Now, what is He preparing us for? Friend, we are going to die. That's inevitable unless the Lord comes back. But He's preparing us that there is a future. And that future is heaven or hell. Now, we're going to read one verse of Scripture. And when we read this verse of Scripture, you're going to know, and I'll give you a little bit of background, but you're going to know where it's at. But I want you to read with me John chapter 18. Hope you've had time to get there. Verses number 18. So it's 18 and 18. And the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for the privilege. I thank you, God, for the opportunity, God, to be able to share your precious word. And I pray, God, that you speak to our hearts. Most of all, let your Holy Spirit guide through the hearts of everyone that's here. God, we're thankful, God, that we do have a promise of a better home, a home awaiting, God, when this life is over. And help us all to prepare. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. By reading the one verse and one verse alone, it kind of puts you in unawares. It says, and the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Kind of sounds like, well, that's not too bad. That's kind of like when it's a cold night or a cold day. Somebody starts a fire and you kind of get close to it and you warm yourself. Sounds good, doesn't it? I like to get around a fire on a cold day. I like to be warm when I'm cold. But I think there's more to this passage of Scripture than just that. And I won't have the time to talk about everything in it, but this is when that just some preceding events had took place, and Jesus told the Apostle Peter, he said, you know, before we're going to find the rooster crowing, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to deny me three times. Now, when he told him that, there was no way that a good spiritual person like the Apostle Peter could ever deny the Lord three times, particularly before the rooster crows. That would be like telling some of us church folks, we ain't going to deny the Lord. Lord, not us. No, we're going to be faithful to do everything God wants us to do. Well, the passage goes on, and guess what? The Apostle Peter, he did deny the Lord. But I want to look at this one particular verse. And I want us to examine something today that I want you to pay close attention to. The Apostle Peter was no different than any other person as far as being saved. I believe that whenever you're saved, I believe that when God moves into your heart, He makes a new creature out of you. You don't have to worry about those past sins. God forgives those past sins. I believe whenever you get saved, God puts within you a new heart. Now, you still got the same old pumping situation. But God puts within you a new heart. What does that mean? Sometimes we get so used to the environment of sin, that's so easy for us to do. But when God saves your soul and you realize the real good points when you realize you're saved, and you realize that if you die, heaven's going to be home. When you realize that you pass from death unto life, when you start realizing what God's done for you, you're a changed creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Those are the things that the Scripture says. The Apostle Peter was no different than me and you in that respect. But the Apostle Peter was a little bit different in his environment and his circumstances. If you've ever been saved for any length of time, I bet you probably made this request. Boy, I wish I'd have been there and walked with Jesus on those days. Now, I've said that a bunch of times. I've said that, man, wouldn't you love to have been there on the day that they gathered them five loaves of bread and two small fishes, and he feed 5,000 with it. Man, I'd like to have been there on that day. Or I'd have liked to have been on there on that day when they got in that boat, and that boat was a little stormy, and they didn't have the Lord, and here comes out of their forefront of their eyes, they look and said, Lord, Lord, look, that's the Lord. And one of them disciples, I ain't going to call his name, y'all know who he did, and he says, Lord, if it's really you, let me walk to you. Man, I'd love to have been there on that day. You see, there's some highlights that we're reading a Bible, that I'd love to have been there. And these disciples, like the Apostle Peter, they were there. They saw it with their own eyes. They got to eat of that bread and eat of that fish. They got to say, I walked on the water. You see, there's some highlights in a Christian life that I can say, one of those is the day I got saved. Man, I didn't know a whole bunch of stuff. I didn't know anything really. And I'm glad that the day I got saved, a change come over me. Not the change, oh, looky here, looky here. No, sir, a change come in my heart. Now, that was a big difference. Sometimes as you're a born-again child of God, though, sometimes we face battles. Sometimes we face battles on a daily basis. Sometimes the battles begin to wear on us and get us kind of discouraged along the way. The Bible actually has verses like, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Sometimes we get weary with our journey. With the children of Israel crossed over the desert and over there for wandering around for years and years and years, you know they were weary. You know they were tired. But you know, in following the Lord, you don't just stop. You say, I'm not going to go any further. I'm going to quit. I'm not going to do any more. On this particular verse, it would be very easy for me to pick on the Apostle Peter like I've done on so many occasions in reading this passage of Scripture. But the Bible said, all he was there with the servants and the officers stood there. These were just people. They were everyday servants. I don't know how to describe a servant other than they serve folks. They do things. Servants have many different forms. We do a lot of service, whether we're building cars or we're feeding hay to horses, as I like to say. A servant serves others. There were servants standing there, and there were officers. That meant there was a different kind of group of folks. There was kind of a mixture of a group of folks. He wasn't the high and mighty. He wasn't the lowest of the low. He was a mixture of a group. And they were just standing around. And they were warming themselves by a fire. That's kind of a common situation when it's cold. And it would have been nothing. The Apostle Peter just kind of comes up to the fire and warms himself. Blends in. Gets right there with them. As a born-again child of God, he doesn't know what's fixing to happen because he couldn't even predict denying the Lord for three times. He didn't know what was headed to Calvary, not just a little bit ways down the road. He didn't know. You know what he had to do? He had to live his Christian life in the circumstances of that hour. And that's all he was doing, was blending in, warming himself. You know, the Bible talks about many different times of what happens when we are warming ourselves when we're lukewarm. Revelation has a huge section upon this particular part where it says and talks about this. It said, I wish you were hot, but you're cold. But are you cold? No, I'm not cold. No, are you hot? No, I'm lukewarm. See, it's easy when a person is cold. Whenever you're really indifferent, whenever you're a huge sinner, you know what I call a huge sinner. Every one of us are sinners. But sometimes when we sin those big old sins, boy, it's easy to say, boy, you're cold. You're a cold-hearted individual. And it's easy to say, boy, you're on fire for God. See, those kind of extremes we can see with our own eyes and feel. But when you're lukewarm, you don't know which way you are. When you're lukewarm, you don't know which way you're going. See, it was very easy for the Apostle Peter to stand right there with that kind of people in that kind of environment and do nothing for God. really doing nothing. Was he witnessing to the lost? Was he telling them Jesus is the real way? Was he telling them he's the way, the truth, and the life? Was he giving them anything? No, he was blending right in. And blending right in, it might have had some advantages, but not in the eyes of the Lord. Blending right in, it satisfied the flesh only. That's all it did. It satisfied the flesh. Right now, this time of year, we don't really look too much for a fire. We might get a little cool. But really, when it gets cold weather, we will certainly seek after a fire. But what we're trying to do is to satisfy the flesh. That's all we're doing. I've worked when it's cold. I've worked when it's hot. I do all the things. But friend, whenever it's really, really cold like that, man, I'll seek a heat source when I have the opportunity. But listen, all I'm trying to do is satisfy the needs of the flesh. And a lot of folks that are Christians, call themselves Christians, say they're in church, say they live for God. A lot of folks will do only the things that satisfies the flesh. I look at the church world since the last 50, 60 years and how it has changed. Oh, I could go through my spiel about altars and I could go through my spiel about singings, but I want to go through the spiel about preaching in the pulpits. The message today in the average pulpit has changed from a message of repent and be saved to be able to satisfy the things of the flesh. People want to do what makes them feel good. And if it feel good, man, just follow that way. That's not the way of God. God says this body that you see right here is going to go right back to dust like it was. There's not a thing you can do to change it, not a thing you can do to prevent it. I'm going to die if the Lord tarries, and dust I'm going to return back to. If I spend my life satisfying the flesh, that's all I'll have. That's all I'll have. But there was more to this than just satisfying the things of the flesh. He might have stood with them, and he might have warmed himself with them, but he had been through one of the greatest things that he could ever learn from but didn't. When Jesus told him out there at that Last Supper, he said, you know, you're going to deny me three times. He didn't know what learning opportunity he had. They leave there and they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And 11 of those disciples went. You know, Judas had already betrayed, in other words, he was betraying the Lord in the process. 11 of those disciples went there to that garden. Out of those 11, three of them, the Lord told them after they got there, said, you boys, you three, come with me. The other disciples stayed right there. While the other three went a little bit further, you read it and you'll find it, and he told them to tarry while I go yonder and pray. Now I want you to listen. Listen to this part right here. When we're living for God, there's levels that the disciples followed him. There were some that was willing to do. They all saw the miracles. They all heard his words. They all heard the message. They all heard about what it was going to be to pay man's sins. They knew all of that. But when it come time to being a follower of God, the Apostle Peter watched as some disciples were less than eager than others. In other words, sometimes it's easy for us to be a lukewarm disciple. Lukewarm. We don't ask about folks. We don't talk about folks. And I'm not talking about it. It's easy to gossip. No, sir. I'm talking about bringing folks in front of God. It's easy for us to kind of go along with whatever the majority is doing. It's easy not to stand out. It's easy not to cry loud and lift up your voice. It's easy just to get by. These disciples were in that same boat. But the Lord saw something in three of those disciples and told them to go with me a little bit further. And out of those three disciples, they went further. Wouldn't you think they would have been a step above? Hey, listen. You remember the mother that says, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, I want my sons to be a step above. Granted that one will sit on your right side and the other on the left. See, that's not a bad request. It's not a bad thing to think, oh, let me go a step above. In fact, if you would read your Bible every day, you'd be a step above most of the majority of Christians around this world. People don't read their Bible anymore. If you was to pray every day, you'd be a step above the majority of Christians. If you go to church, you'd be a step above. Many folks don't go to church. But friend, if we're just looking at the eyes of the three and looking at the others, what are we looking at? If I measure my Christian life by you, I'll beat you. But if I measure my life as a Christian, compare it to what God wants. What God wants. When Jesus then went a little bit further and prayed, I think the Apostle Peter missed out on that part. But when Jesus went a little bit further to pray, if you'll remember in your mind, Jesus told his disciples one other time, he said, listen, here's how you need to pray. Now he could give them all examples, but here's how he wanted you to pray. He said, when you go to pray, enter into a closet. And when thou hast shut the door, you mean to tell me God wants me to go inside a closet and shut the door? Yep, because whenever you pray in that condition, your Heavenly Father, what sees you in secret, He will reward you openly. Friend, when we get along with God, man, it makes a difference. But that ain't the way I'm going to pray, preacher. No, sir. You know how I like to pray, preacher? I like for somebody to call on me in church. And whenever I can pray, and everybody in church can hear my beautiful prayer, I'll spend time in practicing my prayer. In fact, you've heard it and I've heard it. I'll write my prayer down. Man, I'll put some words in that prayer. I'll make that prayer be so. Man, I'll make prayer, it'll make tears come to people's eyes. Now, I'll tell you something. A few times in my life, I've read other books beside the Bible, okay? And I remember reading some books in school, you know, where they twist your arm and say, you'll read that book, okay? And I've done that. And man, have you ever read an old book like Old Yeller? Old Yeller was a good old book. That rascal will make you cry. Well, it might if you stand hardy. Old Yeller dies at the end. I don't want to spoil it for you, but he does. But you see how you can read a book, and if the author's pretty good, it'll make you cry. You might be good enough today to pray a prayer that you've rehearsed, but has God heard it? Has God? See, the way God wants us to do is get away from every one of us. Hey, it don't hurt to pray together. Man, when we come to church, we ought to pray. But sometimes it does us good if we go and find us a prayer closet and close the door, and when we can really get a hold of God. I think Apostle Peter missed it when the Lord went away and he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, and the Bible says his sweat became as great drops of blood. You know something? Third thing. Wasn't long after he prayed, Jesus comes back to those disciples, and then he comes back to them, and he knows that his time is up. The soldiers come to get Jesus. They all gathered around there. I ain't going to say which one of them disciples, but one of them grabbed a knife, a sword, cut off a fella's ear. Now you see where I'm going? Cut off that feller's ear. The Lord reaches down, grabs that ear, and puts that ear and heals that ear just on the old spot. Like it never had a scar. Those disciples, all 11 of them, watched the conduct of Jesus as they were, like we would say, putting him in handcuffs and hauling him away. They saw the conduct. He did not open his mouth to defend himself. Three lessons, wonderful lessons, right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. As they led Jesus away, then we have this passage of Scriptures where the Apostle Peter is going to deny the Lord three times. And then on that occasion, on that day, here he is right now in the middle of it, and he's standing right there warming himself. We have an opportunity today to blend in or stand out. We have an opportunity to witness for God or to zip our mouth and say nothing. We learn out of the abundance of that heart. God has sometimes had to bring me down to a level to get my attention. And bringing me down to a level, it is not a happy thing. It is not a thing that I enjoy going through, but for live for God for a greater purpose than me. A greater purpose is not what I want to do for my life. It's what God wants to do with my life. That's a greater purpose. I don't want on my tombstone, well, he done the best he could with himself. That's not any kind of thing that I want to brag about. I don't want to be known for this, that, and the other. I spent a lot of years working for the public. I don't want to be known for that. If there's anything you want to send some light to, it's not the fire that man produces. It's the fire that God produces. Friend, if we're here for self-satisfaction, we can stick right there with them. But if we're here to satisfy what God wants, then we're going to learn the life lessons that He teaches us to be separate from the world. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Stand out from among them. Be not conformed to them, but be ye transformed. Friend, God has a plan if we're willing to step away from their fire to come to what God wants us to do. Quickly. He saw that. He never said a word. He didn't cry out whenever they began to question him and challenge him and say, are you one of you? None of those things did he ever say any word with any meaning. Now, here's what I want you to hear. He denied, he cussed, he swore, all those things he did. And none of those things made him a better person. And how many times in our life do we, I'm not talking about cursing, swearing and all, but how many times do we do the idle things that accomplishes nothing? If I was to wash my car, it's going to rain tomorrow. If I cut my grass, next week it won't even look like it. If I turn the air conditioner on and let it run all day long but cut it off 1 hour, I'll be saying, oh, how hot it is. We do a lot of things that amounts to nothing. Nothing. I can sit down to the best meal of the day and eat until I can't hardly get away from the table and give me an hour and I'm looking in the cabinet. We got anything to eat? You know why? We're used to that environment. We're used to living that way. It was easy to deny the Lord. It's easy. It's easy to not to dedicate your life It's easy not to do abundantly above that which ask or think. That's how the Lord answers our prayer. But it's easier to get along. In watching, and I've been watching a lot of the military and the you see what's going on in our on our daily news, how that the military is having to step in and kind of restore order and a lot of things, and how people are in defiance. I know on the military side, on the police side, I feel sorry for them folks. They're putting up with all kinds of stuff to try to protect folks. That police officer going down that road, and you say, oh, I hope he don't give me a ticket. Well, if you wasn't speeding, you wouldn't get a ticket, all right? Now it's talking to me. But you see, it's easy for us to criticize. But friend, I am so glad that I can dial three numbers in an emergency and somebody will show up. But living for God, it's easy for us to criticize. Well, the Lord don't do nothing for me. I'm doing the best I can. Shame on us. We're not doing the best we can. Friend, when God breathes down upon us that Holy Spirit of God that comes in and speaks to our hearts and tells us all the things that, man, I got a home for you and it's on the other side. I got something better for you. It's on the other side. Friend, when God breathes down upon us, we ought to thank God that this is not our permanent home right here. I'm glad to know that, friend, I don't have to live in a lukewarm condition. I can live for God. And living for God, you might say, well, it'll put me above the grave. No, sir, friend, it's not who sits on the right hand or who sits on the left hand. God has prepared a place for us. And if God prepares a place for us, He's going to let us go to that place that He has prepared. You're here today. What's your condition? Are you just kind of getting by? I've been in church a long time. Being in church a long time, there's a lot of things you might think, well, you know, I'm just going for the journey. I'm just kind of getting by. I'm hoping at the end of the journey there's enough good that outweighs my bad. I've heard that till I'm sick. I'm not going to make it on my efforts. I'm not going to make it on the best I can do. I'm not going to make it because I carry a Bible and go to church. The only way I make it is through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's the only way you'll ever make it. You won't even get to go through the pearly gates unless you have Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, living mediocre is mediocre living. Jesus said in Revelation, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And that's the condition we'll find ourselves in. It's the easy way. Wasn't it easy for him to walk up with them others and do this? That's what you do around a fire. I don't know why you do it that way. Your old hands will get cold and your old fingers get cold. And you go up there and you rub them. And you think, oh, and if you look at that next person, they're doing the same thing. They'll get so hot on one side, they'll turn around and say, whoa, don't that feel good? All we're doing is satisfying the flesh. But friend, when it comes to God, it'd be nice for you to have one-on-one time with God. And one-on-one time, you don't want anybody else to hear what you got to say to God. It's between you and him. Friend, when folks come to this altar, there's a many times I'll just let them pray. I'm not a mediator. I'll be right up there if they need help. But I'm just going to do my prayer. You do your praying. You need the preacher. He's right there. But friend, you don't need me, but you need God. And friend, this altar is the only place that you'll change you from cold or lukewarm to hot. And I'd rather be hot with the Lord than cold with the world. Let's have a song of invitation, Brother Greg. You know, it's just kind of mediocre. Well, I'm glad your Christian life don't have to be mediocre. I don't have to say, well, I'm just one of many. I'm one of 100. I may be a little bit better. I may be a little bit better than you. Friend of mine, you got to measure yourself with the Lord. May we stand to our feet. If God's speaking to you today, come to Him. Know Him in the free pardon of sin. If you need to come and pray, you help yourself. You come if you need to pray. Help yourself.